Let's praise God for the another occasion the Lord has given us to study His precious word. I hope you remember the theme. What's our theme? Our theme is warfare that every Christian has to face. Every believer has to face on this earth. See, in our last study, we considered certain features of this warfare. I don't want to ask you. I'll just repeat those 6 points. It's a spiritual warfare. We need a spiritual preparation for it. A warfare is not with people or with philosophy or with any place or with any circumstances. It's a personal fight. So the success of this warfare depends upon our personal preparation. We have to fight alone, individually. And thirdly, it's an universal fight. Everywhere this fight is there. Wherever you go. Shifting houses, shifting our job is not going to help in this fight. And it's a long battle. Don't think that's for only for few months or few years. It's a long battle. And we need to be on our guard always. And number five is, it's a defensive fight. We are not fighting against the evil forces to capture anything from the evil forces. We are on the victory side. The Lord has already captured everything for us. We are only defending, and we are only defending the position that we have, or the benefits, the blessings that we have. We need to stand before the fight and through the fight and even after the fight. And finally, it's just a battle. The war is won. Our Lord has already conquered. We read there in Colossians chapter 2:15, He has disarmed the principalities and the powers. He has already defeated the one who has power over us. So, no evil force, no evil angel or evil spirit can possess a Christian. We are on the victory side because the Lord has already defeated the evil forces, and a Christian believer are secured. And finally, ultimately, victory belongs to us. Now there are two questions we have to consider on this, you know, in this connection. Two questions. First of all, how do we know that ultimately success will come to a Christian, or victory belongs to a Christian? How do we know? Or what assures our victory? What assures our victory? And the second question is, then, if we are on the victory side, if the Lord has already defeated the evil forces, why do we face a fight? What is the need of such a fight at all? So these are the two questions we have to consider this evening. Last week, actually, I gave you some points on the first question. What really assures our success, our victory in this fight? We can be victors. We can be successful in this fight. Our life should not be a failure. We can be successful in this Christian warfare because four reasons are there. I gave you 4 points. I hope you remember. You shall read those verses first of all. You see John's Gospel 16, verse 33. John's Gospel 16, 33. Very familiar verse it is. You know it very well. See, the Lord says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you have peace. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, the Lord says, in me you have peace. We have seen it already. The Lord has defeated the evil forces. You see one more verse, maybe. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Again, we know that verse very well, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Remember that expression. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2:14, again we read, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. See, in Christ we have victory. That shows that a Christian believer shares the victory of Christ. The Lord has already overcome the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has already overcome the evil forces. His victory belongs to us because we are in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we share the victory of Christ. So that's the first thing. That's the first reason why we can say that every Christian believer, born again believer, can be a victor. We can be successful. We don't need to be defeated by the evil forces in the spiritual warfare. There is a warfare, but we don't need to be losers. We can be successful in this warfare because of our position in Christ, the one who is the victor in Him. Our position in Christ assures our victory. And another thing is Ephesians 6:10. Second thing that should assure us or assures us about the victory. You see Ephesians chapter 6:10. You have seen it maybe earlier. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay? Now we will see those verses again. There we see that Paul says we have the resources to stand against the evil forces. We have the strength of the Lord. We have the power of the Lord. We have the life of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ indwelling in us. And we have the whole armor of God. So we have the whole armor of God and we have the needed resources. We have the resources. We only need to use it. We only need to make use of the resources that we have in Christ. So our resources in Christ also assures us that we can have victory in this warfare. And third thing, Job 1:10. Job 1:10. Another reason why we can be sure that we can win over the evil forces or in this warfare. Job 1:10. You see there we see that, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You see, we know that verse, the background. Devil comes to the Lord asking permission to attack Job. Remember, before the evil spirit can attack a Christian or evil forces can attack a believer, he will have to get permission from God. And then devil says that, Lord, you have already made a hedge around Job and all that he has. Then how can I go and attack him? So from there we understand that there is a fencing around a believer. There is a fencing around every Christian. We see that Hebrews 1:14, where we read that about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now what do we read there? We have the angelic beings protecting us. And then we can connect Job 1:10 and Hebrews 1:14 together. God has made a hedge around us. And what kind of hedge it is? What kind of fencing it is? Made of the angelic beings are supporting us, covering us, protecting us, keeping us. That's why we are safe. Now, I don't want to elaborate upon it. No, we can explain much, but I am not going to the details of it. So, the fencing that is around us, or the protection that we have by the angelic beings, assures us that we can overcome in this evil or spiritual warfare. Now, Luke's Gospel 22, verse 31 and 32. We read, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. Simon, Simon, he asked for permission. The devil, Satan, may sift you as wheat. Then the Lord says, I prayed for you. That means, even before the evil spirit, evil forces, or even before a Christian will have to face a kind of battle, the Lord will pray for us. You understand? Even before we face a battle, Even before we come across a fight, a spiritual fight, the Lord knows it. He will pray in advance. The Bible says that the Lord is praying for us today. And He is our mediator. He is our advocate with the Father. Just as the Spirit of God is pleading with us on behalf of Christ. Similarly, we see that in the presence of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading for us on behalf of us. And because of the mediatory work of Christ, victory is assured. So there are four reasons why we can be sure that we can be overcomers. We can win over in this spiritual warfare. What are the four things? I'm going to ask you, I don't want to trouble you, but I do prefer to ask and get answers also. Number one is our position in the victorious Christ. And number two is our resources in Christ. Number three is our protection or the protective fencing that is around us. And our Lord's mediatory prayer on behalf of us also assures us that we can be victors. We shall overcome. Okay, now the next question, natural question is, then why do we face such a battle? If we are on the battle, we are on the victory side. If the Lord has already brought us victory, if the Lord has already defeated Satan and all the satanic activity, we share His victory, then why do we face such a battle at all? What is the reason? I have noticed some six reasons. We'll very quickly go to those six reasons. See verse Jude verse 9, first of all. The first reason. So, I hope you got the heading. The next heading is the cause of the fight or the reason why we have to face such a battle as we are on this earth. Jude verse 9. There we get an idea. You see, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation. Just see the first part. See, there we have a reference to devil disputing against Michael over the body of Moses. Now, we don't know where it happened. We have no idea about it in the Old Testament. We don't know much about it. But we know very well that it was God who buried the body of Moses in the plains of Moab. But from here we understand that there was, at some occasion, there was devil wanted to know that place where God buried His servant Moses. Why, we don't know. There are some Bible scholars, they say, maybe devil wanted that Jewish people will come to know where Moses was buried, and they may build maybe a temple or some kind of shrine there, and then they will begin to worship there, which will be against the plan of God, and that will cause destruction in their own life, and God's own punishment will fall upon them. That may be the reason. We don't know. But one thing is clear, even after Moses died, devil says, I need the body of Moses. So from there we have some lesson that devil, not only when we are alive, not only when man is alive, claiming his possession, claiming his ownership upon that man, even when he is dead, devil wants to say, his body belongs to me. Then when he was alive, now we know that from the Garden of Eden, devil possessed man. And devil was able to, capture him. And devil was able to make use of him. And devil was able to use him. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did? Defeated the evil forces, the devil. And redeemed us. And now we belong to Christ. Now devil has no part with us. Now devil has no ownership with us. And now our ownership is changed. The Lord is our master. We follow Him. Yet, when we die, devil is trying to claim his ownership on us. That's why there are some Bible teachers or Bible scholars, preachers, they say that's why when rapture will take place, there will be the voice of archangel. You know, during the rapture, there is the voice of the Lord, there is the trumpet of the Lord, and there is the voice of the archangel. And the purpose behind the voice of the archangel is when the transformed, the resurrected, the dead in Christ who will be raised and transformed, as they pass through the air, the evil forces, the evil angels may oppose, saying that their body belongs to us. Then there is the voice of the archangel who was, you know, speaking again or fighting with Michael here, in connection with the dispute of Moses' body. So from there, what I want to say is, what is the reason why we face a fight today? Even after the Lord won the victory, even after we are on the victory side, even after the Lord has redeemed us or delivered us from the hand and the bondage of devil, still he is claiming a ownership because of our past ownership. Once we belong to him, and even today, even though we don't belong to him, devil wants to make a claim. Devil wants to say that Nelson belongs to me and I want to use him. I want him to be my instrument. So there is a claim by devil because of our past ownership. Okay, number two, we see from 1 Peter chapter 2, 11. You see, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. What do we read there? Now, what is the reason why we face a battle today? It's very clearly mentioned. Peter says very clearly. There is a battle going on in every Christian's life. What is that? Fleshly lust. War against the soul. There is a war inside. Between the flesh and our soul. Now, we understand what is flesh. Flesh means the old sin nature. We have a similar idea in Galatians 5:17. You see Galatians 5:17? Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 we read, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. You see, the flesh lusts, desires against the spirit. Within us, the Bible teaches, two natures are there. The flesh. And within us, the spirit is there. Now, I am not able to explain again, because that's not my topic, flesh and spirit. But we just want to say, what is the reason why a Christian is facing a battle as we are living on the earth? Number one is, because of our past ownership. Even today, devil wants to claim an ownership. And number two is because of the flesh that is within us. Now, what is flesh? Flesh is the old sin nature. In NIV, you will see the sin nature. Old sin nature. Flesh is the balance of Adamic nature. Flesh is that old sin nature that we got from Adam. According to the Bible, in the sight of God, God finds it as crucified with Christ. We see in Romans 6:6. Know that you have been crucified with Christ. But in practice, we understand that even today, even after salvation experience, we do face that desire and the lust of the flesh that is there. Even today, within us, there is a little bit, part of the evil nature, the old sin nature. Or another word we can say, the beachhead of Satan. You know beachhead? Beachhead means, you understand, no, I can't go into the details again. Beachhead means a small portion, a small place, a small area from where the enemy can fight. For example, you remember, the people of Israel, they crossed over Jordan and they camped in the first place. Which was the place? The first place? I too forgot. Teacher of Joshua, Okay, Gilgal, correct. Gilgal. They camped there. That was a kind of beachhead. They camped there, and from there Joshua went up, left, here and there, and they captured the place. So that is beachhead. A small portion of a large country from where the enemy can fight, or from where the soldiers can fight. In a similar manner, within us, there is a small place, a beachhead of devil, from where he can, work in us. And that has to do with the devil. And there is a, flesh, there is flesh within us through which devil can use us, or devil can work in us. Devil can fight with us. The flesh has lust. The flesh has desire. And that flesh can work work against us. So we see that in Romans 6:11, Apostle Paul says, what shall we do? Because we have such a flesh or sin nature. What shall we do? Remember that we have that flesh and the sin nature. And remember, reckon dead. We have to consider our flesh as if crucified. And we have to yield to the Spirit of God. And in Romans 13 we read that, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh, so that flesh may not be strengthened in our life. That flesh will be used against us. I think somebody wrote a story somewhere, I read, I don't remember exactly where it is, it may not be a true story, but it has a lesson. See, one man, he sold his property, he had to sell his property because of some emergency, his house. When the agreement was made, he said that there is one condition, there should be one particular nail on the wall belongs to me. That will be mine. You cannot touch it. So, in that house on the wall, one nail is there. That belongs to this man. Even after this house is sold. So, the transaction was over. After some time, maybe months or years, this man, he had the money. And he wanted to take that house back. And he's not willing to give. How can he give? Then there was a fight. Then one day this man, he brought a bag full of some dirty things, stinking things, and placed it on that nail. Slowly that bad smell is coming out. And naturally fight will take place. But that nail belongs to him. This present owner cannot say anything, because that was there in the agreement. This nail on the wall belongs to the old house owner. And finally he had to give back the home to that man because he allowed that man to keep a small nail. So just a story, may not be a true story at all, is to telling that there is a little part within us that is called flesh, which devil can use, instigate us, produce desire, evil desire, using that old sin nature. A Christian should mortify that sin nature, and a Christian should never give any spiritual food or any provision for the flesh. A Christian should always consider flesh as if crucified, and he should strengthen the spirit part and win over the evil forces. So the point what I want to make is, what is the reason why we face a fight? Reason number one is because of the past ownership. Reason number two, because of the flesh that is within us. Flesh that is within us. Okay, number three. The third reason why a Christian is facing a warfare. Number three, we see 1 John 5:19.
Is it 1 John 5:19? I'm sure you know that verse very well. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What is the reason? Don't forget our topic. Our topic is, what is the reason why a believer is facing a battle here on earth? The reason number three is, Apostle John says, we live in such a world, surrounded by such a world, that is controlled by the wicked one. That is controlled by the wicked one. Now this world doesn't speak of this political world or the people of the world. We understand that. You know it. It speaks of the system of the world. You say, just see 1 John 3, you know, verse 1, where we read that, therefore the world does not know us. Your neighbors know you very well. Here the world that does not know us speaks of the fashion of the world. The system of the world. This world has a fashion. This world has a system. This world has a particular spirit. And that this world, the spirit of this world, or the fashion of the world, does not know you and me. And then we read, because it did not know him. So here is a world, we are living in such a world, which does not know us, which does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And also we read in 1 John 2:17, we read there, maybe 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. So there we see that Apostle John wants to say that we live in such a world, which is corrupted, controlled by the wicked one. With the spirit of the world, the course of the world is against us. And all what is here on the earth, in this world is against us, is not of the Father. And we are living here. So the point is, we are living or we are surrounded by a world that is corrupted, controlled by the wicked one, which is against a Christian, which is against God. So naturally we have to face a battle. We have to face a fight. That's why in John, in chapter 5 itself says that, in verse 4 and 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? So John says that as a Christian, we have to fight. We have to face the fight, the spiritual warfare in this world, because we are here living in this such a world, and we have to be overcomers. So that is the third reason. The corrupt evil world system around us is another reason for fight that we have to face. Number four. 1 Corinthians 12:27. See 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. We read there, very simple, not simple, point maybe. Now, you are the body of Christ. Okay? You are the body of Christ and members individually. It speaks of the church. Now, what is the reason why we have to face a battle? What is the reason why the devil and the evil angels are after a Christian? Even after we got victory in Christ. From here we understand, maybe, one reason, maybe, because we understand that throughout history, from the Bible we understand, always devil opposes God. Always devil is against God. Against the Lord Jesus Christ. Before his birth, even after his birth, till crucifixion, he used to fight against the Lord, opposing Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today he is here, not here. Today Christ is not here, but we are here. We are part of the body of Christ. Now we represent Christ. So today devil cannot fight against Christ. He is in glory. So he finds an easy target. God's people, the body of Christ, the church. So that also our present association also may be another reason why we have to face a battle. Now, Revelation 12:12. Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. You see, notice that devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. Devil is not omniscient, you know, as God. He doesn't know everything. But he knows many things. Now, devil knows two main future events. What is that? Number one, he has a short time. His own destruction. He knows that he is a defeated foe. We will see that later on. He knows it very well. He's already defeated. And very shortly, he will be captured. And he will be sent, cast into that bottomless pit. And he will be there for the next 1,000 years. And then he will be cast into the lake of fire. So he knows that he will have very short time. So he wants to make use of the available time he has, attacking the people of God. Troubling the people of God. And the second thing he knows is, he knows very well that these people, who? You and I. We are going to reign with Jesus Christ. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with Christ. We read that, you know, in Timothy we read that. And he knows that every Christian who is fruitful will be rewarded. No, he knows very well that he cannot take away our salvation. We will be in heaven, but he can disturb our life. He can trouble our life. He can make our life a fruitless, defeated, failed life. So, knowing these two things, because of Satan's knowledge of the future, also maybe one another reason why he is fighting or he is troubling the believers. We have to face a battle because of the knowledge of devil about the future. So that is number five. I've given you five things. Number one, our past ownership. Number two, the flesh that is within us. Number three is the world that is around us. And number four is our present association. And number five is Satan's knowledge of the future. Now number six. You see 2 Corinthians 12:7. Another reason why a Christian is facing a battle as he lives on earth. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now that is something which we cannot really understand. You see, that Paul very clearly refers there. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. God has permitted a messenger of Satan to trouble me. Why? Because I may not exalt above measure. Now from there we understand that there is a kind of battle we have to face or fight. Permitted by God. Using the evil forces. Very clearly mentioned there. It's true we cannot understand properly. Very hard to understand. That God will make use of devil to attack us. But Paul says that there is a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted. Now from there we have a lesson. Now how can we understand that? Devil was thinking he is troubling, defeating, he is destroying Paul. Devil was thinking. But actually God allowed devil to trouble Paul or such God's people in order to accomplish God's own purposes. So that means we may face a battle which is designed by God himself. Just like Job, you know, and now Paul. We may be facing a battle which has been permitted by God. Because God has a plan. God has an idea. God wants to make use of the evil forces that are attacking us for his own purposes. So there is another reason. The sixth reason is in God's own plan, in God's own design. One more story I read from Warren Wiersbe. I think it's from Warren Wiersbe. I read maybe some 6 or 7 years ago. I'm not very much sure. You see, there was a godly sister who used to pray very loudly. We know that there are certain sisters or brothers also. They pray loudly. So she will pray for every needs. Lord, I need this, I need this. These are the things I need. Lord, please provide like that. So she used to pray very loudly. And there was a neighbor who is an atheist. And he used to listen to this prayer. And he was not at all happy with her spiritual life, her trust in God, her piety. So he was looking for an occasion to teach her a lesson. And one day, he carefully listened what all the things she is praying for. And he took a note of it. And he went to the shop. And he bought all those things, whatever she prayed to the Lord. And in the night, he kept it at the door of that sister's house. Morning, she opened the door. Whatever she prayed for, it is there. And she began to praise God. When she began to praise God, saying, Lord, thank you for providing my needs in a wonderful way. Then he came there. He says, this atheist man, don't praise God for that. I bought it for you. Your prayer is a waste. I myself only brought these things for you. Then she said this, I knew my Lord will provide, but never knew he will use Satan also for that. What she said? She said, I knew that my Lord will provide, but I never knew that even my Lord will use devil also for providing my needs. That is something wonderful. Not only for providing the needs, to teach us, to mold us, to prepare us, to humble us. God will use what? Some fight, some struggle, some suffering, some kind of warfare. God will allow us to go through such a warfare, we will learn what is humility. God will allow us to go through such a warfare that we will learn to be zero. No, we don't learn easily to become zero. It's very hard to learn to be zero easily. I don't think anybody will learn easily to become zero. Before we can be humble, really, we have to face a series of battle. Certain people can be. But in many cases, they need such a treatment from God. God allows the evil forces to trouble us. And the evil forces are thinking, this man is being destroyed. This man will be fruitless. This man will be useless for God. But God knows his intention. And ultimately, as he passed through that fight and battle, that warfare, he will become more useful, more humble. He will understand things properly. So God in his wisdom allows certain kind of battle that we need to face. And don't think that every fight is coming from God. God doesn't allow such fight in every aspect. Many a times we make our own fight. We do make mistakes. But certain occasion God allows. Whenever God allows a suffering, that is for our own good itself. So we see, just recently I was reading another portion in Exodus, you know. Exodus 23 is very interesting verse is there. You see Exodus 23 verse 29. Exodus 23, 29 we read. The Lord says to the people of Israel through Moses. We read there, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Now it speaks about the enemy of the Israelites. When you reach Canaan, about the Hivites, verse 28, it is written there, about the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, you know, such things are there, such group of people. But I will not drive them out entirely immediately. There will be few there. I will drive them out slowly, little by little. You know, 29, 30 it is written, you know, little by little I will drive them out before you, until you have increased and you inherit the land. So God doesn't remove every obstacle immediately. God doesn't remove all the enemy immediately. He allows certain enemy to be there. He allows certain obstacle to be there. He allows certain problems to be there, but we face it. He has a purpose. To teach us, to prepare us, to mold us, to strengthen us. Certain reasons are there. And the Lord allowed the people of Israel to walk through the desert 40 years. He was preparing them. And the Lord allowed them to face a battle in between, a war in between, during that 40 years. Why? Once they reach Canaan, they will have to fight continuously. And before that, the Lord prepared them with war here and there. So God allows certain sufferings or certain battle, fight in our life, in His own design, in His own plan. So we need to be happy when we experience such fight. Now remember that just a while ago we read from Luke's Gospel 22:31. The Lord says, Simon, devil asked for you. There we don't see that. The Lord doesn't pray, Father, there should not be such a fight with Simon. But we read there, the Lord did not stop that work of Satan. The Lord prayed, after such a battle, his faith should not be lost. God allows us to go through sufferings. God allows us to go through difficulties, because it is from difficulty or fight, warfare, different types of such ups and downs, we learn and we get more matured. The Lord's servant John MacArthur says like this, he says, joy arises from the ashes of suffering. Joy of a mother, soldier, farmer, all born out of struggle. How true it is. Joy arises from the ashes of suffering. Joy of a mother, a soldier, a farmer, all born out of struggle. It's a peculiar attribute of sorrow that its past remembrance so often adds a sweetness to our present joys. So warfare is a blessing in disguise. So don't worry if there is warfare. We need to worry if there is no warfare. So we need to pray, Lord, allow, thank you for the sufferings. Thank you for the difficulties. And if there is no difficulty, just examine why, Lord, you don't allow any sufferings in my life. Now don't say like that. Even if you say no problem, God in His wisdom, He will allow sufferings from one way or another way. When we think that everything is okay from the job side, and there will be something else from the other side. When everything is okay about the residence or about our stay here on in Mumbai, the Lord will allow us to suffer from another corner. I am sure matured believers will know it. As we face life, facing life, you know, we understand it. from here or here, there. We face it. The Lord allows it. Where trouble-free life is not at all good for a Christian. Because when we go through such trouble, there is a joy. When we overcome, when we come out of that fight, finding success and victory, and realize that the Lord has taught us much more lesson, made us much more pure, made us much more godly, and we become more useful for the Lord in the coming day. So we need to welcome such warfare and sufferings in our life. So we have seen 6 reasons why a Christian has to face a fight. Number 1, our past ownership, the flesh within us, the world around us, and our present association with Christ. And 5th, the Satan's knowledge of the future. And finally, the divine design. So may God help us that we may not be defeated by whatever we face. Once again, I will just give you an illustration of John MacArthur. He wrote in 1986. He said like this. 40 years ago. Very quickly, I'll stop. 40 years ago, writing in 86. That means some 65 years ago. 3 men conducted an evangelistic campaign together in Ireland. In Ireland, 3 men conducted evangelistic campaign. Many got saved. Years later, an Irish pastor who got saved in those meetings inquired about these 3. After many years, a pastor who got saved during those meetings, he wanted to know, where are these 3? And then one is still a faithful pastor or preacher. And the other became an apostate. He abandoned the faith. And the other died as an alcoholic. So he says that MacArthur, he concludes, the issue is not what a believer has done, but when the battle is over and the smoke clear, whether he is found standing true to the Savior or not. The issue is not what we are facing. The issue is not what we are doing. The issue is, even after the battle is over, even after the smoke is cleared, we come out still standing. Still standing true to the Lord. Beloved brethren, don't worry about the fight you are fighting. Don't worry about the struggle you are facing. Don't worry about the pain you are going through. The question is, once you come out, how would you come out? Will you still standing true to the Word of God, to the truth, to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is something we need to be very careful. So there is a battle, there is a warfare. Be aware of it and stay close to the Lord. And be strong in the Lord. Take the whole armor of the Lord and come out stronger, purer, and much more useful for the Lord. May the Lord's name be glorified.